My name's Alan Hicken. I run Montacute TV Radio Toy Museum in Somerset. Yeah, we're at the Helicopter Museum, and I've come specifically to promote the book, the Jack the Ripper book, the autobiography of Jack the Ripper, it's called. This is a book that James Carnack, who claims to be Jack the Ripper, gave to S.G. Hume Beaman to publish on his death. A lot of people wouldn't know S.G. Hume Beaman offhand now, but if I told you he was the creator of Larry the Lamb, then, and the Tales of Toy Town, I think everyone would know who he is then. So anyway, James Carnack made S.G. Hume Beaman the executor of his will, specifically to get his book published on his death. Unfortunately, both these chaps died about the same time. So S.G. Hume Beaman, Sidney George, that is, he wasn't able to finish his, wasn't able to get the book published for James Carnack. And so it remained dormant until 2007, when a lady from Chester got in touch with me. This lady was called Jean Caldwell, and she was the niece of S.G. Hume Beaman. And this book had been handed down her family from S.G. Hume Beaman, then to his daughter Betty, and then Betty gave it to her cousin Jean, who then wanted to get rid of it all and all the memorabilia of S.G. Hume Beaman's. And so she went to Bonham's, the auctioneers in Chester, to get rid of all the memorabilia. But the auctioneers, they wanted to break it up into all different lots. Jean wasn't happy with this, so she wanted to keep it all together, all the memorabilia. And so she once again approached Bonham's for their advice, and they recommend that she get in touch with me at the museum down in Montacute, Somerset, to see if I'd be interested in buying the whole lot as a job lot. Obviously, I said I would be very interested, you know, specifically for the Larry the Lamb memorabilia. At the time, I didn't really know too much about the Jack the Ripper book that was mentioned in the list. So anyway, she went back to Bonham's. She organised the price with Bonham's, which was agreeable with me. And a couple of weeks later, the big box appeared with all the memorabilia. I just actually put this scruffy old manuscript to one side for the time being. I wasn't that bothered. I thought I'd get back to it one time or another. And about a week or so later, I had nothing to do, nothing good on telly. So about 10 o'clock at night, I thought, oh, I'll settle down and I'll start reading the manuscript. As I say, this manuscript was an original from the 1920s, and it's written in that strange period writing of the time. And it was impossible to put down. You know, the more I got into the book, the more I had to keep reading it. And I think it was a winter's night, so it, you know, set the scene quite nicely. And I think I finished the book about 4 o'clock in the morning.
So, at what stage did you think I should turn this into a book? I should let the world know about this book. Was it while you were reading it?
Well, yeah, because it set me going. You know, all the hairs on the back of my neck stood up, and I was actually thinking, could this actually be the words of Jack the Ripper himself? So the next thing I did was ring Jean up, who sent me all the memorabilia down, and I asked her about the book. And she said, as far as she was aware, her cousin Betty, Hume Beaman's daughter, they all believed it was as it was, the exact truth and everything else of Jack the Ripper. And it's got all the pedigree from James Carnack to S.G. Hume Beaman to Betty to Jean and then to me. So, you know, we can follow it all where the actual books come from. And as I say, it is an autobiography. It tells you all about Jack the Ripper.
Two, two, eight, your movie set.
God. Where did I get to?
Your audacity. the authenticity.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So I rung Jean up to, as I said, to ask her all about it, and she says, yeah, you know, all the family believed it was true. You know, I said, well, you know, I'm going to try and get it published. And she says, well, I wish you the best of luck and everything else with it, you know, because she wished to promote the museum and everything else. And, yeah, she wished me the best of luck. So we had a Halloween week. It usually is at the last week of October, which is also half term for the kids. So I rung up Points West, BBC, asked if they'd be interested in mentioning the book on the news and what have you. And more than that, they sent Clinton Rogers to do an actual report on the book, and he was absolutely gobsmacked as well when he saw the manuscript, you know. And yeah, he did a wonderful piece on that. And so when that went live on the same evening, it went nationwide more or less, because various companies buy it up, you know, BBC News. It got to London and everything else, and a few Ripplologists got to know all about it, in particular Stuart Evans, who was on a Johnny Depp production, From Hell. Yeah. And he was the main historian on that programme, and he showed an interest and he wanted to come down. Oh, can I come and see the manuscript? You know, he'd never ever, you know, really excited about it.
So you've got the manuscript on show or not?
No.
Photo stack
no,
copies?
We can show you the cover.
Yeah.
on a picture. Right. But no, obviously, you know.
So the combination lock is well and truly kept
secret.
Oh,
it is indeed, yeah. Yeah. Everyone asks me the same question.
I bet they do, yeah. If I just ran through the numbers, right?
Yeah.
If you blink, I'll take that as a...
There's a few combinations. I don't know what the permutations are.
Yeah, it's Bantam Press, I've just noticed, which is a huge publishing company.
They're the biggest in the world. Yeah, they've got publishing houses in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. It's been published in all those countries. We've just sold rights to America. China was one of the first to buy it up, you know.
So what's the general response from the public? Have you had any reviews?
Well, obviously, it's up to the public to actually read it. Those who have read it, you know, they're up and down with it. You know, they don't really know what to make of it, you know, which is true, you know.
Has it been edited in any way?
No, not at all. It's in the writing, as you see. It's not actual printed. Mm. You know, it's like it's come from the typewriter, the old-fashioned typewriters that they used to use. Yeah, yeah. But
So has anybody tried to say that this could possibly be a hoax or not, really?
Well, it just couldn't be. We've had Paul Begg. He's written many a book. He's one of the main Ripplologists. Transworld, you know, on that subject of the hoax and everything else, they got Paul Begg to go over it with a fine-tooth comb, because obviously they were going to tie up, don't know how many thousands of pounds in producing the book, so they had to have it looked at by a professional person, well, Ripplologist in this case, Paul Begg, and, he turned up trumps. He says, oh, no, that's very good. In fact, he said, there's information in that book that couldn't be got from any other way. You know, he said the person would have had to be a witness to the murder or either committed the murders themselves. So,
well, you
know,
you are,
it speaks for yourself, you know.
So where can we buy this?
Waterstones. Yeah, it's on sale at Waterstones. It's on sale at Amazon. It's on sale at our museum. It Montacute, TV, radio, toy music, plug,
and all over.
My name's Alan Hicken. I run Montacute TV, radio, toy museum in Somerset.